The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Shekalim has been dedicated by Dr. Isaac Meddeb and his wife Lily in memory of Moshe ben Nachel Man. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. We hope that the learning of the 22 Dapim of Masechet Shekalim will be a Ilui Neshama for the Niftar Moshe ben Rachel. Tehi Nishmato Tzerura B'Tzor Rachayim. Amen. Daf Yud. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Raymond Esses, one of the charter members of our Daf HaYomi group. The Skelim Atzvot Raymond, may God bless him. Bezat Hashem, Zera Haya V'Kayama. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Anu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Daf Tet Amud Bet, right at the beginning of the new Perek, Perek Rebi'i, starting at Halakha Aleph, the Mishnah. And the Mishnah asks, what did they do with the Terumah? Meaning, all these shekelim that they collected, what did they do with the money? So the Mishnah answers, first of all, they brought with the money's Korban Tamid. That was brought every day, Tamid Shel Shah and Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, as well as the Musaf of Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and Yamim Tovim, Veniskehem, and the wine that was poured on the Mizbeah as well. Ha'omer, Omer was a Korban that was brought on the second day of Pesach from the first cutting of the barley in the field. And of course it was ground into flour, was made into a mincha. Some of it was put on the Mizbeah, and the Shirayim of the Omer was eaten by the Kohanim. Mushteh Alechem. Shteh Alechem was the loaves of bread that were brought on the holiday of Shavuot. That also came from public funding from the Shekalim. Velechem Apanim, that is the showbread that were on the table from week to week. They would change it Shabbat to Shabbat. The Kohanim would eat the Lechem Hapanim. Vechol Korbenot HaSibur. For that matter, all Korbenot HaSibur would be included. Now, some say that might be including the Ketoret as well, and the Melach, the salt that was also used to put on all the Korbanot. Shomrei Sifichin B'Shevi'it. They used to have watchmen during the Shemitah year watching the growths that grew during the Shemitah. Again, during the Shemitah year, they still had to bring Korban HaOmer. They still had to bring Shteh Alechem. So they needed wheat from the fields. The problem is that the wheat in the fields of Shemitah are Hefker. And therefore, people are going to rummage through the fields and take everything. Or animals are just going to eat everything in the field. So you needed guards to at least protect some of the produce so they could use it for the usage of the Bet HaMikdash. So they called these guys Shomrei Sifichin B'Shevi'it. The ones that were watching Sifirin. Sifirin are things that grow by themselves, because you cannot plant during the Shemitah. But anything that grows by itself is also forbidden. But you were able to use it for the Bet HaMikdash purposes for Omer and Shteh Alechem. So therefore you had guards watching the Sifirin. Actually, according to most of the Mefarshim, we were really watching them from animals. Because human beings already would know that they would have to keep away from these, because they were designated for the Bet HaMikdash. Notlim sekaram trumat aleshka. In any event, they get paid for doing their service from the trumat aleshka, from the shekalim that they collected. Rabbi Yosef Omer, af harotzeh mitnadev shomer chinam. So Rabbi Yosef says that the watchman can even do it as a service, meaning shomer chinam, not to get paid. Now what's the tradition of Rabbi Yosef? Why is he allowing him to do it for free? The hadush is like this. By allowing him to do it for free, there's a chance that now, by him standing there, he is going to acquire the growths in that field. Because he's not getting paid to watch for Hikdash. He's doing it on his own volunteer service. So therefore, the concern would be what? That let's say the wheat now belongs to him. Because since he's standing there looking at it, so he makes an acquisition. Now the B.O.S.'s Chiddush is that when he gives it over to the Beit HaMikdash, you could assume that he gives it over wholeheartedly. Because again, these have to come from Sibur. It cannot come from Yahid. So the Chiddush of the B.O.S.'s is that even if he's doing it for free, and by thereby he'll be caused, let's say, to own it first and then give it over to the Beit HaMikdash, it's still okay, because we assume he gave it over wholeheartedly l'shem sibur. Amru lo, af ata omer she'en ba'in ela mishel sibur. So the rabbis came along and said, what do you mean, Rabbi Yosei? You agree it has to come from Sibur, and therefore, how could you allow him to be a Shomer Hanam? We don't trust that he's going to give it over wholeheartedly, and therefore it's going to be a problem. But by making him a Shomer Sachar, by paying him, so now already he's working for Hekdesh. So therefore, he cannot make a personal acquisition on these Hita over here. So whatever he's taking, it's really as a Shaliah for Hekdesh. So therefore, that's the way the rabbis say. Rabbis say he must be a Shomer Sachar, meaning get paid, whereas the Bible says he even could be a Shomer Hinnam. Let's read the Taklin Hattin quickly on this Mishnah. It's on the three lines on the bottom. Hatiruma ma ayu osin. Kol ma shetarmu mahalashka. Whatever they collected from the lashka. Those are the growths that grow in the Shemitah by themselves. From whatever seeds they left in the field, or whatever wheat that they left in the field. Venatnu sakal shomer. And they gave payment to a watchman, shiimnat aglib behemot, in order to make sure that the animals don't trespass and ruin all the wheat. Mishum tzrachim ne'omeru betalechen, she'enam ba'im ela min hadash. Because these items can only come from the new crop. Yeah. And therefore, l'gebe the lechem apanim, you can use last year's crops, you have no problem. But these have to come from the new crop. So therefore, you need to preserve some of the new crop for these two types of korbanot. U'min ha'aris. And it has to come from Israel as well. They couldn't import the wheat from Chutz La'aretz. And since this is part of the korban, because there was a korban that was brought with the omer as well, and a korban that was brought with the ishtei alechem, korban dame. It's considered like a korban. Therefore, you can use the shekalim for this item, because shekalim generally are designated for korbanot. These items are considered sort of korban because they were brought with the korban, so therefore you can use the shekalim. Shomer chenam, the av shekana otam in ha'efker k'shamram chenam, even though he was koneh the wheat in the field when he was watching them for free. Savar de korban yachid mishtaneh l'shel sibur. The Bios says that a korban yachid can change into a korban sibur just by giving it over wholeheartedly. Af atak lomar iyaps iyatam odeh de ba'im l'shel sibur v'chi agav de shavram chaynam zachah behem nemsa she'enam ba'im l'shel sibur de svir aleh de en korban yachid mishtaneh l'shel sibur u'chitatam l'shibuhu, which is the rabbis were answering according to their shita. They were saying, what do you mean? Don't you hold that has to be given over to the sibur, and therefore once he personally owns it, he's not going to give it over maybe full heartedly, and therefore you have a problem. So if the Achamim said that's the remain a shomer sachar, they must get paid. Now we begin the Gemara. The Gemara says okay, actually we have a Hagot Agra right in the beginning of the Gemara. Taman Taninan, we learned over there in Masechet Ta'anit, Zman Atzei Kohanim, the times that the certain families, as we're going to discuss, used to donate the wood for the Ma'arakah. They used to donate the wood to the Beit HaMikdash. Nine families were generous, and they began the donations for the wood in order to fuel the Mizbeach. That was called Zman Atzei Kohanim, the times that the wood were given to the Beit HaMikdash. So it says, Zman atze kohanim ve'am limanot. Let me just get the proper text over here again. Mara'a, okay, read it like that, let's say. Mara'a zman atze kohanim ve'am limanot. Why are these cases, these 9 days, that the people used to give the korban of the etzim, why are they necessary to be counted in the days that were considered Yom Tov in the Beit HaMikdash? There were certain days that were considered Yom Tov, meaning the members that used to join in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Yisraelim, they would have certain prayers that they would pray every day to pray that their brother's korbanot would be accepted in the Beit HaMikdash. On certain days, however, their prayers were curtailed, they were shortened, because it was considered Yamim Tovim. So one of these days was considered the day that the woods were donated. So the Gemara asks, Mara azman atzei kohanim v'am limanot, why did they consider these days, what's so special about these days over here? So, Ela b'sha'ash adu yisim min ha'gola, when the Jewish people came from the exile in the times of Ezra, ve'lo matzu etzim b'lishka, there was no wood in the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash. This is the second Beit HaMikdash. So these families got up and they donated voluntarily from their own. And they gave them off to the Sibur. And from these wood, they brought from them korbanot zibur, public korbanot. So the prophets that were amongst them, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, they made a condition. Even in a time where the treasury is going to be filled with wood, and still these families will come and donate from their own. The korban will be accepted from their wood first, which they got right, you know, to donate first because they were around when we needed them. So therefore, in the subsequent years, even if we had wood, these families over here would get special preference that we would accept their korban to go first. So comes the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Aha, the Rabbi Yosai." This Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Yosai. The Rabbi Yosai Omer Afarosim Nadev Shomer Hanam, which means over here these people were giving personal wood that belonged to them. And they were giving it to the Beit HaMikdash. And the Beit HaMikdash accepted it. As what? As a donation for the Sibur. Because the wood has to be given to the Sibur for the Korbanot Sibur. So what do you see over here? That an individual can give something to the Sibur for the Sibur. And we're not worried that he's not going to give it over wholeheartedly. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef in the Mishnah that said, you don't have to pay the Shomer Sifihin of Shivi'it. Why? Because even if they acquire the produce of the field, when they give it over to the Beit HaMikdash, we assume they gave it over Belev Shalem, and it was considered given to the Sibur. But it's not going like Hachamim, because Hachamim said that an individual cannot give something over for the Sibur. So therefore this is a proof, this Mishnah Reshita of Rabbi Yosef. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Ila said, Devrei Akoli. Now, this Mishnah Tani can be going according to everybody, even according to the Hakamim. Ma Peliginan, where did Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef of HaMishnah argue? Bigufo Shel Korban. They only argued when you're bringing an actual Korban itself, or the actual Omer, which is the item itself, or the Shteh Alechem, which is the considered like the animal itself. Avad Makshire Korban. But on something that is a Makshir, that is a It's a preparation for the Qurban. Kol amam modeshu mishtane Qurban yahid Qurban sibur. Everybody agrees in the Hachamim that a yahid can give it and it can turn from yahid to sibur. Which means in this case over here we're talking about the wood. The wood is considered a makshir. And the logic of it is like this. When it comes to a Qurban, it has to be from the sibur. And if bidi'avad it's not from the sibur, it's pasul. Therefore the rabbis were mahmir. They said the yahid cannot give it over to the sibur because he might not give it over full-heartedly, and therefore the Qurban is going to be pasul even bidi'avad. But a makshir, the khatayla, has to be from the sibur as well. But if it's not bidi'avad, it's okay. So the rabbis were not mahmir by makshirim. For example, in this case of the wood, Rav Ila says even the rabbis will say it's okay that they can give the wood from private stock and it can be given over to the Sibur, and we assume that they'll give it over wholeheartedly. We don't make a Yezirah. Tane, we learned the Tosefta. Isha, that's talking about the mother of a Kohen. Sha'asta kutonet tibna. She made a ketonet for the Kohen. Her son was a Kohen, and she herself made the tunic that the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen wears. Keshera. So we say it's Keshera. Ubelvad, shetimsedena the Sibur. So long as she gives it to the Sibur, because the clothes of the Kohanim also must come from public funding. So long as she gives it over wholeheartedly, it's okay. So Amar Rabbi Aha, to Rabbi Yosei. Again, this must be going like Rabbi Yosei of Amishnah, to Rabbi Yosei Omer, Afarotzim Nadev Shomer Hanam. Just like he said in Amishnah, that you can have the watchman who's a Shomer Hanam, because even if he acquires the produce in the field, he'll give it over wholeheartedly. So to this mother of the Kohen, when she's giving over the Ketonet to the Kohen, we can assume that she's giving it over to the Sibur wholeheartedly if we have no problems. So we want to say that this is a proof to Rabbi Yosef. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef, Bishop Rabbi Ila, Devrei Akoli. So Rabbi Ila comes along and says, no, we can even say this is going like Hakamim. Why? Ma Perigina, what are they arguing on Hakamim Rabbi Yosef? Bigufo Shel Korban. They're arguing when it comes to the actual Korban itself. For example, the actual sacrifice or the Shteh Lechem or the Omer. However, Abba Makshire Korban, but things that are preparatory, Kol Amam Ode Eshu Mishtane Korban Yahir, the Korban Sibur. And therefore, in this case over here, it's considered a makshir, because it's the tunic that the Kohen is wearing. That's considered a makshir to the Korban. Therefore, even the rabbis will agree that a yahid can give it over to the Sibur, and we don't suspect that they might not give it over wholeheartedly. Comes the Gemara and says, Matnitin Peligi al Rabbi Yosef. Now, actually, this is a different Gersa Otoveh. Some have it Peligi al Rabbi Aha. That's the way the Teklin Hattin had. Rabbi Aha was the one that wanted to say that the that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Aha was the one that wanted to say that the cases above of the mother making the Kohen's tunic, or the case of the wood, those are only going like Rabbi Yosef in the Mishnah, and not like Hachamim. Which means, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Aha, he did not make a difference between Makshirin. She's Hachamim that are Osir, a Yahid, to give something, it's whether it's the actual Qurban itself, or even if it's a Makshirin, rabbis don't make a difference. So the Gemara, according to the Girsa of the Taklir Atin, is we have a statement that's Peligi al Rabbi Aha, that's arguing against Rabbi Aha. How? What's the statement? Otana Yamin, those days that we considered a Yom Tov, those were the days that they gave the wood, we consider them a Yom Tov, as I explained to you, that the Anshei Ma'amad would curtail their prayers because of, you know, the special day that they brought the Korban, that was called Korban Ha'etzim. So on those days, Nohagim Bishat Korban, these days applied during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, when they actually needed the wood, Vishelo Bishat Korban, and even after the Korban Beit HaMikdash, where there was no Beit HaMikdash, these days were still considered Yamim Tovim. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef said, Enam Nohagim Ela Bishat Korban Belad. He said, no, it only applies at the time of the Korban itself. The odd min. Oh, sorry, what's the proof over here? So we want to say over here, from the fact that we're saying that these were such holidays that they even lasted after the Zman of the Beit HaMikdash, must be, we consider this as what? A Korban Sibur. And therefore this is a proof to Rav Ilah that said that according to Hachamim, when they give over the wood for a, even for the Makshirim, it's considered they're giving it over to the Sibur, and therefore we have no suspicion. Therefore, since it's considered like giving it over to the Sibur, that's why the rabbis went so far to say, we're going to make a holiday on this even after the Beit HaMikdash is not around anymore. Furthermore, the Ord bin Hadah. And furthermore, we have another proof. Netanya, Amar bin Ezer bin Rabbi Tzadok, Anu Hayinu mebnei San'a bin Binyamin. So the rabbi said, we came from the family of San'a bin Binyamin, that our day to donate the wood was on the 10th day of Av. San'a bin Binyamin was a family, and their day was on the 10th of Av. And what happened? Ve'hal Tish'a be'av liot b'Shabbat. One year Tish'a be'av fell out on Shabbat. So they had to push Tish'a be'av to the next day, Sunday, which was the 10th of Av. So what happened to their Korban? How could you make a Yom Tov on Tish'a be'av? Ve'dachinu oto le'motza'e Shabbat. Which means, and they pushed the fast to Motza'e Shabbat, meaning to Sunday. And therefore, ve'ayu mit'anin ve'lo mashlimin. But what? They fasted, but they did not complete the fast. Again, what do you see? That these were descendants of the family that used to bring the Korban Etzim. Obviously, it was the time when the Beit HaMikdash was not around anymore. And still what? Still you saw that they didn't complete the fast. Wow. To which they still celebrated these days long after the Beit HaMikdash was not around. Again, the Tisha B'Av was on Shabbat. They pushed it to Asara B'Av. Uh-huh. So the rabbi said, yeah, but that was our day. We knew from the history that this was the day our family donated to Korban Etzim. So what did we do? We fasted, but we didn't mashlim. So what do you see from over here? You see from over here a proof to Rav Ilah that the rabbis agree. The rabbis agree, the banan, that when you donate the Etzim to the Beit HaMikdash, even though it came from a Yahid, it's considered like a Korban Sibur. Because if you didn't consider this donation as a Korban Sibur, so we would, and of course, why you suspect that you might not give it over wholeheartedly, why then do we make such a holiday for these families even after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Which means if you just consider that the fact
that they didn't eat.
Right, the fact that they broke their fast, and the fact that they still celebrated these days as Yom Tov way after, so therefore that shows us what? That this was really considered Korban Sibur. Right, it's not just a Makhshir, but it was necessary for the, it's considered as part of the Korban Sibur as well, and therefore they celebrated it later. The proof of the statement is like this. This statement over here, that the Yahidim brought Korban, and that they treated it as a holiday even after the Beit HaMikdash, and the Bnei San'a family also did not complete the fast on Tish'ab and Asara B'Av, where there was a fast they proclaimed because their family, that was the day in history that their family gave the Korban Etzim. That statement was going in the Shita of the Rabbanan. Now if that's going in the statement of the Shita of the Rabbanan, that means Rav Ilah is correct. Because Rav Ilah was the one that said that the rabbis hold that a makshir that's given to the Beit HaMikdash if it's given even by Yahid, it's accepted wholeheartedly. Because according to Rabbi Yoseh, I mean, Rabaha, this could only be going like Rabbi Yoseh. Because Rabbi Yoseh is the one that said an individual can give it over wholeheartedly, but it cannot be go according to Rabbanan. But we know that this statement was even said by the Rabbanan. So therefore that's a proof according to Rav Ilah that says what? That when a Yahid gives it over, if it's a makshir, the rabbis will agree that can even give it over wholeheartedly. Comes the Gemara and continues. So we said what? That the Omer and the two loaves of bread of Shavuot and the Lechem HaPanim and all the korban of the Sibur come from the money of Shekalim. Comes the Gemara and says, Taman Tanin, and we learned the Masechet Menachot. Kol korbanot yachid v'sibur ba'im min ha'aretz u'min chutz la'aretz. All korbanot, whether it's private korbanot or public korbanot, it can come from animals or produce from Eretz Israel or from produce chutz la'aretz. It can come from the new crop or the old crop. Except for Omer and Shteh Lechem, she'em ba'im ela min ha'hadash min ha'aretz. These items must come from Eretz Israel and from the new crop. Because the Pasuk says, Mimoshevotechem. Mimoshevotechem teaches us it has to be from Eretz Israel. Furthermore, it says, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Rimiya, the Rabbi Ishmaeli. Rav Huna, in the name of Rimiya, said that this is following the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Ena Omer ba min Surya. Because he clearly says that the Omer cannot come from Surya. Now, even though in Syria, there were certain places that had Kedusha, because they were conquered by David HaMelech, like Aram Naharaim and Aram Soba, but still he said, you cannot bring from Surya. So this is a proof that what? He holds it can only come from Eretz Israel. Specifically again, Omer and Shteh Lechem. Taman Tanina, we learned the Masechet Kelim. Eser Kedushoten. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Mekol Ha'arasot. When it comes to all the lands, Israel is more holy than all the lands. Umay Kedushata, how does that Kedusha manifest? Shemivim Mimena Ha'omer Ve'abikurim Ushteh Lechem. Because we specifically bring Omer, Bikurim, that's the first fruits, and Shteh Lechem from Eretz Yisrael. Masheen Mivim Kem Mekol Ha'arasot, which are not allowed to bring it to from other lands. Rabbi Chaya B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiya said to Rabbi Ishmaeli, this is also going to Rabbi Ishmael that says what? The Rabbi Ishmael Amar Ena Omer Ba Min Surya. That he says what? The Omer cannot come from Surya. So again, we see the Rabbi Ishmael must be the author of that Mishnah as well. Taman Tanina, we learned in Masechet Shavuot. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Rabbi Ishmael says, now we have a Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Beharish Ubakatsiv Tishbot, which means that you have to rest from plowing and planting. That is a great machlok at how to learn this pasuk between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva understands this pasuk is referring to Shemitah. Meaning in the Shemitah year, you can't plow and you can't plant. Rabbi Ishmael argues and says, what do you mean? We have pasukim already to teach me by Shemitah that you can't plow or plant. So this pasuk, he says, is referring to Shabbat. Meaning, Beharish or Bakazit is both on Shabbat, you can't plow and you can't plant. Beharish or reap. Katsir, I'm sorry, Katsir means to reap. You can't plow and you can't harvest. Good. That's referring to Shabbat. Now, Rabbi Ishmael goes further and says that what type of Harisha is Asur? Well, there's only one type of Harisha. All types of plowing are voluntary plowing. There's no mitzvah in the Torah ever to plow. So too, just like Harisha is voluntary plowing, so too harvesting, that's a Asur on Shabbat, is voluntary harvesting. Ah, but as opposed to mitzvah harvesting. When is there a mitzvah to harvest? On the second day of Pesach, we have a mitzvah to bring the Korban HaOmer and to cut from the new Eitan. Now let's say that falls out on a Friday night, which is Shabbat, so the new crop. So therefore, now let's say that falls out on Friday night Shabbat. So you have to cut it on Shabbat. So the Hadush of Rabbi Ishmael is what? That the Omer is Dohe Shabbat. Again, Beharish or Bakatsir Tishbot. What type of Katsir? Katsir Shel Reshut. However, Katsir Shel Choba is going to be Mutar. So what do you see from over here? This also must be going on Rabbi Ishmael. Because if you held that you're able to import and bring the Omer from Chutz La'aretz, why would we tell you to be Mechalel Shabbat? Just bring the Omer from somewhere else. Ela must be what? That it's going like Rabbi Ishmael. And we'll see, why should you have to be Mechalel Shabbat? Ela, bring it from somewhere else. So comes the Gemara and says, Taman Tanina, we learned, we'll see this inside, Taman Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Shiv'it, Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Ma Harish Reshut. Just like the Harish, the plowing in the Torah is talking about voluntary plowing, Af Katsir Reshut. So too the harvesting is talking about voluntary. Yatzah Katsira Omer Shi Mitzvah. What comes out that Katsira Omer, which is the mitzvah, that will be permissible, it'll even be Dohe Shabbat. Good. Rabbi Ishmael Kedatin. Actually, Rabbi Ishmael is going according to his opinion. This is Rabbi Ishmael, by the way. Right. So Rabbi Ishmael is consistent. Mm-hmm. Why? The Rabbi Ishmael davar ena Omer ba min Surya. Because he said that the Omer cannot be brought from Surya. Which is according to Rabbi Ishmael that said that the Omer can only come from Eretz Israel. So therefore, what are we trying to say? Like this. Just like the Omer is Dohe Shabbat. Yeah? So the Bishrael will say, the Omer is Dohe Shemitah. Which means, let's say now you're in the Shemitah year. Alright? So the Bishrael is going to say, normally you cannot harvest in the Shemitah year. But the Bishrael holds, you can actually harvest in the Shemitah year, the wheat, in order to bring it for the Korban. What do you see from over here? That it's Dohe Shemitah. Just like it's Dohe Shabbat, it will be Dohe Shemitah. That's the proof. Again, the proof again is Rabbi Ishmael holds what?
No choice.
Rabbi Ishmael says you have no choice. Which is in Shemitah, if you had an option to go to Chutz La'aretz, beautiful, go to Syria and get the produce. Elohim must hold what? That since you cannot go to Syria, what do you got to do it? In Eretz Israel. Now if you do it in Eretz Israel, what do you mean? But you're breaking the rules of Shemitah. The Bishma was consistent, because he also says you can break Shabbat for Ketzirat HaOmer. So just like you can break Shabbat for Ketzirat HaOmer, you can also break Shemitah for Ketzirat HaOmer. The proof is understood? Good. Which means just like Beharish HaKatsi teaches me that you Dohe Shabbat for Ketzirah, so do you Dohe Shemitah for Ketzirah. And that's obviously the Bishma and the Shitato, because otherwise I tell you go to Syria, it's go to Syria. Like you must hold that what? You can't go to Syria. Therefore you have no choice but to mechalel the Shemitah. Comes the Gemara and says, the Mishra Kedatei Mishra Amar Ena Omer Ba Min HaSuria Kedatei Damar Yatzak Ketzira Omer Shehu Mitzvah. Mantana, who is the author of the following statement? Shomre Sefi'it Bashevi'it Notim Sekara Metumat Leshka. We said that those watchmen that were watching the fields, right, in order to make sure that the animals do not eat all the produce so they can bring it for the Shtei Alechem, we pay them from the Teruma Talishka, we pay them from the Shekalim. So the Gemara wants to know, whose opinion is this? So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Ishmaeli, this must be following Rabbi Ishmael. Because again, why would we have to put guards? Just go get the Qita from Syria. Ela must be that you can only get it from Eretz Israel. That's why we have to put guards, in order to protect the fields. Comes given as Amar B'Yosad Devrei Akoli. I can even say that it's going according to all the rabbis, even the rabbis that say you can get from Chutz La'aretz. So if they can get from Chutz La'aretz, why am I paying guards to watch the fields? So the Gemara says, Lo matzu b'Suria mivim otam tzvi'im shebe'eretz Yisrael. Because just in case, it's an insurance, just in case you don't find Haita in Syria, so now at least we have a backup plan that we can have the guards that protected the fields of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the guards were placed according to everybody, even according to the Shita of the that says you can take the produce from Chutz La'aretz. So it's a backup, exactly. Comes the Gemara and says, Hahin Omer, regarding the mitzvah of Omer, Mao Shi Yizra B'Techila. Let's say there's no produce in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah. So we said that what? You put guards there, you reap it, it's not a problem. It's Dohe. The question is, let's say there's nothing left. Could you even plant? Could you go so far to actually plant the produce in Shemitah in order to use it for the Korban HaOmer? How far did we go? Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Chaya bar Adda ba'e kameh Rabbi Mana. So he asked this question in front of Rabbi Mana, which means he could not understand what's the question. How could you even ask the question? For sure you cannot plant. Why? What was his problem? Because we have a law like this. When you bring a mincha, the kohen makes kemitza. Now he scoops up some of the flour and he puts it on the mizbeach, and then the rest of the mincha is eaten. But the law is like this. the kemitzah is only kasher to put on the mizbeach if the shirayim are, if the leftovers are viable, if they're edible. But if the shirayim are not edible, the kemitzah is not viable, and therefore the mincha is not legitimate. So Rabbi Manah is asking, what's your question? We know that you can't eat produce of Shemitah, specifically produce that was planted in Shemitah. It's asur to eat it. So that means when they're going to make the kemitzah of this omer, automatically the shirayim are asur. So therefore the kemitzah is going to be asur as well. So what's the question? Vadai, you cannot plant. Because even if you planted, your omer is not going to be good because the shirayim are not edible. Therefore your kemitzah that you put on the mizbeach is not good. Therefore what's the question? And how did he verbalize this question? He said like this. You're not going to have comets because the shirayim is not going to be considered eaten. Amar le naasa kahamisha devarim shem baim betumah ve'en nechalim betumah. If you remember, we learned the Masechet Pesachim that there are five types of korbanot that are brought betumah, even though you cannot eat them because they are betumah. One classic example is Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was brought betumah, even though they didn't eat the Korban Pesach betumah, but they were yotzeh Korban Pesach, which means we learned the Pesachim Hamisha. I'm reading you the Mishnah Pesachim Hamisha. Devarim ba'im betumah ven nechem ha'omer ushtei alechem. I will review what I said by Pesachim. Pesachim is the exception that it's brought betumah and it's eaten betumah, because as we learned the Pesachim, the whole purpose of Korban Pesach is for eating. So Korban Pesach is the exception. But five other things are brought betumah even though you cannot eat betumah. One of the things we learned was omer and shtei alechem. So therefore, no problem. The question's back. Can you plant? You're not going to be able to eat? So what?
These are one of the five.
This would be similar to a case of a shirayim that was betumah. And still the Gemara Pesachim says, you can bring the komets. So not eating is like, it's tameh, meaning it's not viable. So therefore the komets still will be good. Therefore the chavrat should be permissible. Now the Gemara does not answer this question. It leaves it a question, but based on the logic, it should be acceptable, because it shouldn't be worse than a shirayim of omer that became tameh, that still we say the komets is legitimate. Comes the Gemara and says, we learned in the Mishnah that we had these watchmen watching the produce in order to see to it that they'll have.
So they could plant lechatchila?
No, they can't plant lechatchila. The question was, if they don't have b'di'avad, can they plant?
Right. So we don't know.
So according to the logic, even though the Gemara doesn't answer it, logic would dictate they can. Because it's not going to be worse than if it became tameh, where we said it's brought betum'ah, even though you can't eat the shirayim. Right. So even though I can't eat the shirayim here either, the comments will be legitimate. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the following issue. And I'll speak to the outside first. We have these watchmen. What was the purpose of these watchmen? You need new produce for the Korban HaOmer. Mm. It's Shemitah. Animals are running wild in the field, eating everything. Mm. And the Omer has to come from the new crop. Mm. It's got to come from the new crop. So we got to make sure that there's at least some new crop to bring Omer. Very good. So we put these guys there to watch, and we got to pay them. The question is now going to be, how do you pay them? Why? Because normally, if you're going to pay them from the Shekalim are Kodesh. Now, whenever you make a transaction, the kiddusha of the coins of Ma'azit HaShekel have to go off onto something else. The coins become holin, and the kiddusha goes to something else. For example, when they bought a korban olah, they pay, the kiddusha goes off the coin on the animal. The problem is, if they're going to take the shekelim and pay these workers, what is it going on? Work is not a tangible. So then, how could they pay them with shekalim? Where's the kiddusha of the shekalim going to go? Therefore, the Gemara has to figure out a way. How do you pay these guys?
Right.
So what the Gemara is going to say is, no problem. We borrow money from the money changers. You let the money changers pay them up front for their work. Okay. Once the Korban HaOmer is cut and they're ready to bring it, at that point, what we do is we pay back the money changers. The money of the shekel now goes on the omer, goes to the omer, and those shekelim now go to chulid. The only problem the Gemara is going to say is that it's Let's say they do work, they're standing there watching the product for a long time. Whatever it costs, it's type of arbitrary, it costs $100, okay? So you have to give them $100. The only problem is, the omer itself is so small in shi'ur, it's, let's say its value in totality is $5. So technically you can only redeem $5 worth of shekalim. So you can't pay them full price.
Right.
Because there's no way you can get them the $100. You can't pay them from shekalim, and you got to pay back the money change that are lending us the money.
Switch.
So therefore the Gemara is going to say, you're right, you don't pay them full value. You just pay them the value of what the omer is. That's the maximum you can pay them. And that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Ketzad hu oseh, how did they pay the watchman? So it says, Notel ma'ot min ha-shulchani. They would borrow money from the money changers. V'notel la-kotzrim v'la-shomrim ad shelo yikra ba'omer. They would pay the shomrim until the omer was actually brought. They wanted to give their money right away. Now, once the omer was brought, mevi ma'ot b'trumat ha-lishka v'mahalilim alav. They bring money from the trumat ha-lishka and they transfer the kedusha, the money, to the omer, and then the money is holim. Now, Gemara says, v'tabut ken. Is this legitimate? Which means they're not going to get full value of their work. Because the Omer, as the Takdir Hatin explains, the Omer was sifted in 13 different sifters. So by the time you got to the Shi'ur of the Omer, it was very minimal. And therefore, how are you going to have the amount of work, which is, let's say in our case, $100, going to be transferred to an Omer, that which is much less? So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Aha, B'Shem, Rabbi Ba, Kol ma shiyiten hen hen damav mishahar ishona. Which means, whatever you're going to give them, that's what they were getting paid from the beginning, based on what the final amount of the omer is going to be. Which means, you're right, we do not pay them full value. Now the Gemara is going to say a similar case. Tana, af b'fetche abanim. The guys that used to be in charge of the quarries of the stones, in order to build the walls around, let's say, the Beit HaMikdash, they also got paid from the Terumat HaLishka. So the Gemara says, Ketzad Oseh, how did you pay them? Notel Ma'ot Mishulchani. Again, you take regular unsanctified money from the money changers, and you pay the workers. V'notel Nachotzbin, you pay the quarriers, and V'lesitatin, and the ones that were chiseling the rocks. Ad Shelo Tinaten Al Gabe Adimos. Before the rocks were actually placed on the walls. However, once the rocks were placed on the walls, mishinitan aledimos, now you can transfer the shekalim to the rocks. And then what they do? They would take the money from the trumat ha-lishka, the kedusha would go on the rocks. Now the money of the shekel is chuli, they can pay back the money changes. So the Gemara is, v'tabutken? Same question. Is that good? Because bottom line, the value of the rock itself is not as much as the work, the value of the work that they paid. So how are you gonna transfer the money of shekalim to pay the workers on something that is not as valuable as the work itself?
But the first time you're paying them the value, or just
No, you're borrowing money just to pay for the bottom line of the rock's value. That's what the Gemara's answer is.
So that's
the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, "V'tabutken, is this legitimate? How can you pay them full value? There's nowhere to transfer the kiddush of the coins." The Gemara says, "You're right." The Biyoseh Bar Bibun B'Shem Shmuel Kol Ma Shenitan Henen Damei Mishari Shona. Whatever you're giving them, the workers, you're giving them based from the beginning, based on what the shoot of the rock is. Of course, you cannot pay them really for their actual workers. There's no way to get them the money. So you're right. If you worked for the Beit HaMikdash, watching the fields, or making the stones, you're not getting paid full value. Halakha Bet Matnitin. The Mishnah begins. Para. Para is referring to the Para Aduma. The Mishnah is going to tell us that the money that pays for the Para Aduma comes from the Terumat HaLishka, from Mahasit HaShekel. The Hadush of the Mishnah is that even though the Para Aduma is not slaughtered inside the Beit HaMikdash, even though it's slaughtered outside the Beit HaMikdash on Har HaZeitim, still, since the Torah calls it Hatat, so it has a din of a Korban Hatat, and therefore it is used, it is bought or purchased from the money of Shekalim. V'sa'ir ha-mishtalayah, that's the sa'ir, that's the goat that's sent on Yom Kippur, that's thrown off the mountain. Again, the Hiddush of here is, even though it's not a Korban inside the Beit HaMikdash, but since the procedure was that they would take two goats, And then they would make a lottery. One goat would be for Azazel, and one goat would be for the Mizbeach. So you didn't know which goat was going to be on the Mizbeach or not. So therefore, both goats were bought from proceeds of the Shekalim. And then, of course, one was sent off to Azazel, and one was put on the Mizbeach. Ve'lashon she'el zehorit. The red string. The Taklin Hatin explains that this red string was referring to the red string that was used in the Parah Adumah process. And the Parah Adumah, besides burning the Parah Adumah, they would take an it is an ezov. They would take a cedar, piece of cedar tree, and also a hyssop, ushni tola'at, that's the red crimson string, and they would tie them together, and they would throw it into the el toch serifat parah, into the fire of the parah. So that string, that red string, also was considered sorech parah, and therefore was used for mahasit shekel coins. Ba'im trumat lishka. So these items come from trumat lishka. Kevesh parah. That was the ramp that was used for the parah aduma. What does this ramp mean? They made a ramp from Yerushalayim, from the Beit HaMikdash until Har HaZeitim, and the parah aduma would walk over this ramp. What was the purpose of this ramp? They were concerned that maybe there's metim buried in the ground. And if the parah is going to walk on that ground, over that ground, it's going to be a ma'ahil, it's going to make an ohel over the mit and become tameh. So they created these types of ramps, or like a bridge, that the parah aduma can walk on. Now, under this bridge, there was a tefah space. So therefore, even if there was tum'ah there, the roof of the ramp would stop or interfere with the tum'ah from going further. So therefore, the parah aduma would remain tahor. So that's kevesh parah, the kevesh sa'ir amishtalech. They also made ramps to transport the sa'ir on Yom Kippur to Azazel. The reason why they did this was because the Gemara Yomah says the Babylonian Jews would pluck out hairs of the sa'ir amishtalech. So in order to protect the sa'ir until it gets to its final place, so they would elevate it on these ramps. Ve'lashon sheben kanav. Furthermore, the red string that they placed between the horn of the sa'ir amishtalech, because the custom was they put a red string between his horns, and half that string they would put in the Beit HaMikdash. After the sa'ir was thrown down the mountain, the red string would turn white as a sign that the sins of the Jewish people were forgiven. The amat ha'mayim, that's referring to the stream of water that ran through the area of the Beit HaMikdash. They used that to clean the azara. The chomot ta'ir, that would be the walls of the city of Migdolotea and its buildings. The chotzur ha'ir, that would be all the needs of the city, meaning fixing the roads of the city for that matter, digging the cisterns and the wells for the water. Ba'in mishiyareh ha'lishka, this would come from the leftovers of the shekel, which means we learned in the previous Mishnah that they had a collection of the shekalim. After they collected the shekalim, after the first season, they would put a leather mat over the shekalim, and anything that was left underneath it in the box was considered shiyareh halishka. So all these items that we just mentioned above come from the leftovers of the shekalim. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul said, kevesh parah kohanim gedolim osim mishal atzman. He argues and says, regarding the ramp that was made for the parah aduma, he says the kohanim gedolim themselves would pay from their own pocket. And the Gemara Mishnah continues, motar shiyareh lishka, the leftovers of the shiyareh lishka, meaning after they took the leftovers of the shekalim and bought all these items that we just mentioned above, let's say they still had leftover proceeds. So those leftover proceeds were called motar shiyareh lishka. What did they do with them? They would buy wine, oil, and flour, and they would resell it to people that were coming to the Beit HaMikdash that needed it for their menachot. And the profit that they made would go to Hekdesh. This would be the words of Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva said, "En mistakirin b'shel Hekdesh." Rabbi Akiva says, you do not do business with Hekdesh. Why? Because there's a chance that the prices might go down and Hekdesh might lose money. So therefore, we cannot take a risk on Hekdesh money. Af lo mishel aniim. Nor can you do business with the money that was collected for the aniim. Meaning you want to invest it, let's say. But you're right, maybe it can make money, but it can also lose money. Therefore, you cannot take that risk with the money of the aniim. And the Mishnah continues, motara teruma, the leftover of the teruma. That's referring to after they emptied out the shekalim to the three boxes, aleph, bet, and gimal. If there was any leftover from those three boxes, what did they do with them? They would use it as gold tiles, or gold plates, I should say, that were used to plate the floor and the ceiling, the floor and the walls of the Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Rabbi Ishmael says, Motara Perot, what did they do with the remnants of the prophet, meaning the prophet that they made from selling the shemanim, the slatot, and the yenot, what did they do with that profit? So he says, kayetz ha-mizbeach. They would use it for kayetz ha-mizbeach. Literally, the word kayetz means dessert. Now, in this case, it means that they used to keep the mizbeach constantly fueled with korbanot. So you would spend the money on korbanot for the mizbeach. Motar teruma, the leftover of the teruma chikalim likli sharet. So Rabbi Yisrael would say you could even use it for the holy vessels, because the holy vessels are like korbanot, meaning they come to serve the korban. So therefore, you can use the leftover shikalim even for kli sharet. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says motar teruma lekayetz hamizbeach. He says no, that you can only use the leftover money of the shikalim for kayetz hamizbeach, because since they were designated for korbanot when they collected them, so therefore you can only use it to spend for kayetz hamizbeach, which is the korbanot on the mizbeach. But the leftovers of the money of Nesachim, which we don't know what that is yet, we'll see that on the Yud Aleph Amud Rishon. We'll wait for that to explain it. That is used for Kli Sharet. Rav Hananya Segan HaKohanim said, Motar Nesachim Kayetz HaMizbeach, that the leftovers of the money of Nesachim go for Kayetz HaMizbeach, Motar HaTerumah Lechli Sharet, where the Motar Terumah goes for Kli Sharet. So we have a machloket over between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hanina Segan HaKohanim, where Rabbi Akiva says Motar Terumah goes for Kayetz HaMizbeach, and Rabbi Hanina says Motar HaTerumah goes for Kli Sharet. But both Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Akiva agree that you are not allowed to sell or buy shemanim, slatot, and yenot, and resell it for a profit. Because again, in mistakirim b'ma'ot shel hekdesh. Comes the Gemara and says, Kevesh para, Rabbi Ishmael bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonatan. Gimel lishonot hen. There were three different red strings. Shel sa'ir, there was the one that was placed on the goat between its horns. Besela, its weight was a sela. A sela is two shekalim. That was its measure in weight. Shel metzora, in the procedure to metahed mitzora, you also needed to take a piece of etz eres and ezov, and they were tied b'shni tolaat b'shekel. But its weight was half the weight of the sa'ir, which was only a shekel. Shel para, and the string, the red string of the para adumaz, was mentioned b'shtei sela'im. Rabbi Honya debret havrin, Rabbi ba bar zavda b'shev Rabbi Shimon ben Hadafta, shel para b'shtei sela'im u'mehsa. That the one of the para aduma was actually 2.5. Sila'im. They eat the mafkin lishna ba'asara zuz. And some say in a different lashon, they say 10 zuz. 10 zuz is another way of saying 2.5 sila'im, because each sila was 4 zuz. So therefore, some say 2.5 sila'im and some say 10 zuz. The Kabbalah continues. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Talmidei hachamim amlamidim et kohanim, the Talmidei hachamim that were hired to teach the Kohanim Hilchot Shechita, the laws of Shechita, Hilchot Kabbalah, the laws of receiving the blood, Hilchot Zedika, the laws of sprinkling the blood, Notlim Secharam Trumat Lashka, they would receive their payment from, again, the monies of the Shekalim. The Mefashim explain over here, how can they get paid? The money is Kodesh, and there's nothing for the Kodesh to be Mehalel on. It's not like in the other case where we talked about the Omer, or we talked about the stones. Here, there's no product. It's just their teaching. So the Mefashim explained that Lev Bedin Matne Alehem, that Bedin would make a stipulation on the coins that the Kiddushah would go off. It was done by Bedin in order to pay the rabbis or the hachamim to teach the Kohanim. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ledifa b'shem Rabbi Imi Mebakarem u'mekadashim notim secharam trumat alishka. Those that were in charge of checking the korbanot from blemishes. So they would get paid from the trumat alishka. What did they have to do? When somebody would bring a korban, they had to inspect the korban to make sure there's no blemishes on it that would render it pasul. Now the reason why they didn't get paid by each individual person is because the hachamim were concerned about a trickery over here, where maybe the ones that are checking for the mumim will gouge the prices in order to give a kosher ruling, which means they'll extort money from the people in order so that they'll be guaranteed a kosher ruling. So in order that they should limit the scams, so what they did was they said you get set price paid from the Terumah Talishka. Rabbi Aha, Rabbi Tanhum Bar Chaya b'shem Rabbi Simnai, Magiye Sefer Azara. The ones that were in charge of checking the Sefer Torah in the Azara. The Mefashim explained that was the Sefer that was used in to read on Yom Kippur in the Azara. So they had to check it from time to time. So therefore, it was the Magiya was paid from the money of the Nishka. And some have another text in this Gemara, they learned Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra was actually the Sefer that was the most Meduyak Sefer, written by Ezra Sofer himself. And they had that in the Beit HaMikdash, and they would use that Sefer to check other Sefarim. Notim Secharam Trumat Lashka. There were those that checked the Sefarim, they would get paid from the Trumat Lashka. Gidal Bar Benyamin B'Shem Rav Isi, Rav Asi says, Shene Dayane Gezelot Notim Secharam Trumat Lashka. He said that in Yerushalayim there was two judges that would sit, and their job was to judge all cases of Dinei Kenasot. Those were judges of fines, which means all the different penalties that people would have to pay, these judges would judge them. They got paid from Trumat HaLishka. You can ask a question, what does that have to do with the Qurban? How can they get paid from Hasid HaShekel? So some explained that this was referring to the Kohanim themselves that were in the Beit HaMikdash that didn't serve correctly, they would get penalized. So they get penalized by these judges. So therefore the payment of these judges came from the Trumat HaLishka because they also affected the Kohanim. Shmuel Amar, Nashim Ma'orgot Beparochet, the ladies that weaved the parochet, the curtain that stood between the Kodesh and the Kodashim in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, Notlim Secharam Trumat HaLishka. They received their payment from the Trumat HaLishka. Now let's review. In the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, there was actually a wall that was erected between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. In the second Beit HaMikdash, the ceiling of the Beit HaMikdash was 100 amot high. And therefore there was no way for them to put a wall that was only an amah wide on the bottom and 100 amot high on top. So therefore instead they made curtains. Now the Mefarshim explained they made two curtains. They put one curtain on one side and one curtain on the other side and Ammah in the middle. Because they didn't know exactly that Ammah, they didn't know if it belongs to the Kodesh or does it belong to the Kodesh Kodashim. So what they did was they just made two curtains with a space of an Ammah in between, and that was to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh and Kodashim. So the question is, these curtains that were made, who paid for them? So the Gemara says they were paid mitrumat halishka. Rabbi Chona Amar mitrumat bedek abayit. Chona says no, they was paid actually from the treasury, from the bedek abayit, from the maintenance fund of the Beit HaMikdash. Ma pelig, what's the machloket over here between these two rabbis? Shmuel avad la kekorban. Shmuel looks at the curtains like a korban. Why? Because since the blood of the korban was sprinkled on these curtains, so therefore it's sorech korban, and therefore you pay from trumat HaLishka. Rav Huna avad la kebinyan. Rav Huna says, no, we look at it like a structure, because bottom line, since it came to replace the wall, and the wall originally was a permanent structure, so therefore the parochet also is considered a permanent structure, therefore it has the din of binyan, therefore it comes from bedek abayit. Amar Rav Chizkiya Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Gedgodot, HaKetoret veKol korbanot HaSibur, the ketoret, which is the incense, the spices, and all korbanot sibur, ba'im mitrumat HaLishka. So certainly they come from the trumat HaLishka. Mizbach HaZahav, the Mizbach HaZahav, which is the golden Mizbach, which is not attached to the ground. It was movable, it was metaltel, veKol kli sherim, and for that matter, all the holy vessels, ba'im mimotan nesachim. They came from the money of the nesachim, of the extra money of the wine. Mizbach Ha'olah was the mizbeach that they put the Korban Olah on. It was permanent. It was built into the ground. It was non-movable. Ba'echal, the Echal is the chamber of the Beit HaMikdash. Ba'azarot, Azarot are actually the courtyards. Ba'im, now we have to change the text over there. That would be Milishkat Bedek Abayit. They came from the treasury of the Bedek Abayit. Again, these items were all sturdy structures. What do they have in common? The Mizbah HaOlah was attached to the ground. It's considered, Mechumal HaKarka is considered Binyan. They have the Hechal, the Azarot, these are all infrastructure. Therefore it was paid not from Shekali, but it was paid from the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash, the maintenance fund. Chutz LaAzarot, but the different areas that were outside the Azarot, for example, Azat Nashim, the Hel, the bigger courtyard, the Chumat Ta'ir, the walls of the city and its buildings, Ba'in Milishkat, Mishiare Lishkat, which means it came from the leftovers of the Mahasita Shekel. Comes the Gemara and says, Tani, but what do you mean? How could you say that? We learned Abnei Mizbeach, the stones of the Mizbeach, HaHechal, VeAzarot, the Hechal and the Azarot, their stones, Mo'alim Ba'im, it's possible to make Me'ilah on these items. Which means if somebody used them for their personal use, they transgressed the Yisud of Me'ilah. Now we know, we learned earlier that the money that was left over from Mahasit HaShekel, there's no Me'ilah on that money. So therefore, how could it be that the things you bought with that money, it shayach to be Mu'il? So the Gemara says, V'chi yesh Me'ilah b'shirayim? Is there Me'ilah b'shirayim of the, is there Me'ilah with the shirayim of the Terumah? So comes the Gemara and says, Ela k'rebi Me'ir. must be going like the Bimeir. The Rabbi Meir Amar Mu'alim Bishinayim. The Rabbi Meir said you mu'al with the leftovers of the shekalim, and therefore whatever you buy with those leftovers also will be subject to me'ilah. Amar v'chiyah, wait, klum amar Rabbi Meir ila betuch shenato. Why did the Rabbi Meir say there's me'ilah on the leftover coins when you're still within the year of the collection of those shekalim? However, which is we're talking about after the year is over, which is after the year is up, even the Bimeir agrees that there's no me'ilah on these coins, and therefore the Gemara's back to its question, how could you tell me that they spent from the Shira Lishka for the Echalot and for the Azarot and these things over here when we know it says that there's me'ilah on these items? Can't be. If it was spent from the Shira Lishka, there would not be me'ilah. So the Gemara leaves that in a question. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.